Okay, so first of all, what I want to do, I want to thank Bob this morning as I open my message, because he pointed out a wonderful thing last week, and it was a wonderful biblical truth. And actually, it was such a good truth that I decided that I wanted to sort of use that to present it this morning and sort of develop it a little bit. And he just said one thing, and then he went on. So first thing I want to do is I want to, and I don't even know if you actually read the scripture, but I want to just put up that scripture this morning, then we'll go on. It was from Exodus 36, verses 1 and 2. Bezalel and Aholiab and every gifted artisan in whom the Lord had put wisdom and understanding to know how to do all manner of work for the service of the sanctuary shall do according to all that the Lord has commanded. Then Moses called Bezalel and Aholiab and every gifted artisan in whose heart the Lord had put wisdom, and everyone whose heart was stirred to come and do the work. And then he said, Bob, and you know, maybe I'm sort of quoting you wrong, but and then he said, you know, those two guys that everyone that's really familiar with those two names, everybody knows those two guys in the Bible, right? Bezalel and Aholiab. You know, we don't know them. We never hear. This is the only time we ever hear about these two guys. But there was a special place for them here. And so with that in mind, I want to look at Yeshua's 12 disciples this morning. So let's go to Matthew 10, verses 1, 2, 3, and 4. And when he had called his 12 disciples to him, he gave them power over unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all kinds of sickness and all kinds of disease. Now the names of the 12 apostles were these. First, Shimon, Simon, who is Cephas, so it's Simon Peter, and Andrew, his brother, and Yaakov, the son of Zabdi. So Yaakov here, this is a Jacob. Many times we see it translated into the English as James, but his name is Jacob. And Yohanan, John, his brother, and Philip and Talmai, and Bartholomew, that's how we get it in the English, believe it or not, and Thomas, and Matayahu, Matthew, the tax collector, and then we have Yaakov bar Halfai, and we have Levaviah, whose surname was Tadai, and Shimon, the Canaanite, and everyone knows Judas Iscariot, who also betrayed Yeshua. So here we have these 12 disciples here. We hear a lot about Peter, Shimon, Simon Peter. We hear a lot about John, Yohanan. We hear about Matayahu, Matthew. We hear a lot about Yaakov, Yeshua's brother, James the Just, Yaakov, Jacob. However, what about Andrew? He's one of the disciples, and he was given this great power by Yeshua. What about the other Yaakov? What about the other Jacob, the other James? And what about Bartholomew, Bar-Tamai? What about them? But they were 12 of the disciples. So in the same way, you know, a name could be mentioned maybe once or twice and that's it. But here's the thing. These are men that were chosen by Yeshua and they were given this wonderful spiritual gifting to do things for the Lord. So in here, in Matthew 10:3 and in Mark 3:18, we have this name in there, and it was Levaviah tadai, because we don't see that a lot. We have it as Lebius Thaddeus. So when you read this in Matthew, you see this Thaddeus there. It's Jude, Yehuda. It's Jude. And here we have Jude, and only in Luke 6:16 is he named as Jude, Yehuda. And when he's named, it says Jude, and then it makes sure to say it. Oh, and by the way, it's not the other Judas Iscariot that betrayed Yeshua, because they want obviously to know that there is a difference between the one Jude and the one Yehuda and the other Yehuda. And so it's only in Luke 16 that his name, Jude or Yehuda, is named. So imagine, he's one of the 12. We believe that he is one of Yeshua's brothers. And no one really knows much about those names that he was given, especially when we read about the 12 disciples there. So people may not know his name, but he was someone chosen by the Lord. So this morning, let's look at it, and let's look at ourselves. People may not know your name. People may not really know who you are, but God does. And that's the important thing. So if you're someone that just feels like no one acknowledges you and no one really recognizes you for things that you might be doing, and you just feel like you're invisible, know one thing. God knows your name and God knows who you are. And there's a good and a bad, because God knows everything that you do that's good, but he knows everything you do that's bad also. But he knows us. He knows our names. God knows us. It's human nature for us to want to have some kind of recognition, sometimes on a small level. If we do something good, we want sometimes at least to be people to acknowledge it. And if we do something for someone, we want them, or we would like them, to acknowledge it. You know, here's the thing. Don't I at least get a thank you? Don't we want that recognition? But the reality is, if we do something good for someone, the important thing is God knows that you have done something good for someone, whether we get the acknowledgement or the recognition or not. But it's human nature that we want that. And some people go to great lengths to stand out in a crowd. There are some people that want to stand out in a crowd. There are people that, I know people personally that they like to get into all the politicking. They like to get in all to the politics of whatever organization they're in or whatever they're doing. And a lot of times they just want to have that thing tacked on the end of their name. President, vice president, whatever it is of an organization. Sometimes people do that. Sometimes they crave that, and it's not really a good thing necessarily, but they want to stand out in the crowd and they want that recognition, and they feed off of recognition. And fortunately, it's not everyone like that, but there are quite a few people like that. So let's take, for instance, Andrew, one of the 12. Andrew, what do you know about Andrew? Quick. Huh? Well, of course, Paulette's going to know. I should have said everyone but Paulette. No, but here's the thing. You see, what do you know about it? You have to think about it. What do we really know? Maybe there'll be a scripture here, there, but we don't really know Andrew like we know John. We don't him like we know Yaakov. See, we don't know Andrew. So as an example, he may not have written a letter. He may not have written a gospel like Matthew. But God knows who he is and who he was. And Yeshua knew who he was, and Yeshua wanted him to be Andrew. You see, God wants us to be us. He doesn't want us to be another person. He wants us to be us. He wants you to be you. And if he calls you, he calls you as you. He may want changes in your life. He may want a change of your heart. He may want you to shift your service and what you're doing. But when he calls you, he's calling you. He's not calling someone else. So it doesn't matter if your name never goes down in the history books. It doesn't matter, because God knows who you are. He knows who each of us are. And that's the important thing. The world may not know your name, and you may never see your name in lights. Hopefully you won't see your name in a post office on the bulletin board. But you may never see your name in lights, or you may never go down in that history book. But God knows you, and he knows your name, and he knows who you are. And really, that should be enough for each and every one of us. That is worth more than all of the notoriety in the world. And it should be. And so if sometimes, you know, people, and I say this morning because sometimes they obsess on that. And I want you to realize it's not necessary for you to do that. Get on with your life and do what you're called to do for the kingdom of God. Don't worry about that other stuff. And sometimes, and I know as hard as it is, don't worry if people don't acknowledge you, even if you do good things for people, because God knows, and that's the thing that's really important. Andrew, Bartholomew, the other Yaakov, they were privileged to be called to be the original 12 disciples. We are privileged to be called to be disciples of Yeshua. Sometimes we don't understand. It is a privilege. We should grab that with excitement, that God has called us to be a disciple of his son. That God wants us to serve him, to work for him, to speak of him, to tell others about him. That is a responsibility, and we should consider it to be a privilege, just the way it was a privilege for those original 12. They spoke to him face to face. They walked with him through the land. But the reality is, if you are called, if you have the knowledge by the Spirit of God, by the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit, if you have been given the knowledge and the understanding of who Yeshua is, and you have accepted him as your Messiah, so that you have your sins atoned for, this is a privilege. This is something that the rest of the world, they are looking for an answer, and they just can't find the answer. And even if they say, I'm not looking for an answer, I don't care. The thing is, their soul is looking for some kind of closure and some kind of answer inside, even if they don't express it. And even if they don't really understand it on the surface. And so we are all privileged to be Yeshua's disciples. Let's understand that. It is a wonderful privilege, and so let's work on that in our lives and just be thankful. It's a gift, but let's be thankful for that. I think that it's an honor, even though it is a gift, and we don't deserve it. This is the amazing thing about it. I mean, we can, you know, how often do we say this? How often do I say this? We don't deserve it. It is a gift. our works don't earn us our salvation. We were not given salvation because we were righteous people. We were such holy people. We were such good people. We've done so many good things in our lives. That's not why we have the gift. We have the gift because God chose to give us this gift. And so we don't deserve it. It is a gift. It's not a matter of being a good person. And so God chose us for that. That alone should make us feel pretty good about it. God chose to give us this gift. He didn't have to, but he chose to do that. So as we serve him in our lives, whether it's big serving or little serving, because, you know, sometimes even people aren't capable of doing a lot of serving the Lord because of limitations in your life, situations in your life, age, physical ability. Although sometimes they don't tend to realize just how much they really can serve the Lord, and it's usually more than they really think they're capable of doing. Sometimes it's because of priorities. But the thing is, we do know that. And so sometimes we serve him in small ways, in little ways, and sometimes we get the opportunity to serve him in greater ways. But it is serving him in our lives. Even if it is little things that we do in our lives, God knows. And he knows, and he looks at them as being good things for the kingdom. Sometimes people will say to me, you know, Rabbi, I can only do this, or I can only do that. You know, the thing is, if the reality is you can only do this or only do that, God knows that. And he is taking your small amount of service, and he is taking that, and he is understanding what you're doing. And I know that he appreciates it. I know that he feels good about the fact that you're serving him. Even if it's a little bit of serving, because you can't do more than that. And the reality is, we all can serve him, whether it's small or large, in small areas or large areas. And like I said, sometimes it's more than we really realize that we can do that. Sometimes we wait for big opportunities to serve the Lord. Something big. Sometimes that people will consider worthwhile doing it, you see. And so we tend to sometimes shy away from little opportunities that we have here and there. We're waiting for something big and meaningful. I'm telling you, it's not just the big stuff that's meaningful to the Lord, you see. And sometimes if you're waiting around and waiting for the big opportunity, it may never come. God wants to see us faithful in small things. And the reality is, sometimes, I think almost always, if he wants to give you something big, sometimes he'll test us with the little things. He wants to see, how are you going to deal with a little bit of serving? Because if you can't do that little thing, I'm not going to lay anything big on you. Or you're not worthy of doing a big thing. See, I'll go on and give somebody else because they have been faithful in the little things. I'm going to give them something bigger to serve, you see. So sometimes we miss the opportunities because we're just waiting for some big stuff, something that's worthwhile serving the Lord. And again, serving the Lord is serving the Lord, big or small. We need to know, understand that. Matthew 19:27. And so then Kephah, Peter, answered and said to Yeshua, "See, we have left all and followed you. Therefore, what shall we have?" He wanted to know, listen, we've given everything away. All of the original 12, they gave everything away according to what we're reading here. And when I say everything away, you have to understand, I mean, they gave most of the things away. And so Peter really wanted to know, what do we have left? What, I mean, if we've given everything away and to follow you, what do we have here? Matthew 19, verse 28, 29 and 30. So Yeshua said to them, "Assuredly, I say to you that in the regeneration, when the Son of Man sits on the throne of his glory, you..." Oh, and by the way, you know, sometimes people will say, well, he never said that he is God. He never said that he is the Messiah. He never said these things. You know, they'll say, it was that lousy Paul that started this whole new religion, right? People say that sometimes, right? All right, so let's read it. "Assuredly, I say to you that in the regeneration, when the Son of Man sits on the throne of his glory, you who have followed me will also sit on 12 thrones." You see, Son of Man. And then he says, oh, by the way, it's me. I'm the Son of Man. And then he says, "You who have followed me will also sit on 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And everyone who has left houses or brothers or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my name's sake shall receive 100-fold and inherit eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and the last will be first." So he was answering Peter's question. What then? Now what? We've given everything away. All of the 12 disciples, they gave everything away. And so now, look, no one is asking you to give everything up. No one is asking you to give everything in your life away. That's not what that is really about. No one is asking you, and this is what many times scares or turns people off, because they think, oh, I'm going to have to give everything away, all my possessions. I'm going to have to give everything up. It's not that. It's the idea and understanding that you are willing to have priorities in your life. Will he want you to give up things? Yes, he may. And everything is just an individual thing. But the idea here is we have priorities, and the priority should be following the Lord and serving the Lord. If push comes to shove, then we would have to be crazy to hold on to any possessions as opposed to eternal salvation. That's the idea here, you see? But again, sometimes people think, oh, those believers, they're willing to give everything up and all their possessions and everything they have and just to live on meager stuff and, you know, not to do anything. No. Look, God wants you to prosper. God wants you to have a good living. God wants you to have a good job. God wants you to have a great family. He wants you to be a good parent, grandparent, aunt, uncle. He wants you to have all these things, husband, wife. He wants you to have these things. But he doesn't want you to put anything before him. This is the thing, and this is really what we're reading here, and this is sometimes will just scare people when they sort of see things out of context in this way. Picking possessions over eternity. Let's look at a couple of scriptures here, and I put them all together here because the first one, obviously, is Yeshua speaking, and the second one is Proverbs from the Tanakh, and then the third one is Shaul writing to the Colossians, and you see they all have the same understanding here. For what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? This is what Yeshua says. What good is it? What good is it if you had all the riches in the world and you had all the fame in the world, and you're not going to be in the kingdom of God? Then what good is it? And Proverbs says, he who trusts in his riches will fall, but the righteous will flourish like foliage. You see, so when we put our trust in our riches, when we put our trust in our possessions, and I'm not saying it's bad to have possessions and even to have riches, but when we put our trust in those things over the Lord, it says, we're not going to flourish. And Shaul writes to the Colossians, set your mind on things above and not on things on earth. How much plainer, right? Let's set our sights on God's kingdom and not all of the things that are part of the world. And what's part of the world today, it's possessions and money and fame and fortune, all of the entrapping things of the world. And to have these things in your life, you know, listen, if one of you today comes to me and says, Rabbi, I just published my book, and my book is number one on Amazon, and I'm getting all this, people want me to have interviews on TV, people want to know me, and they want to know about my book, I'm going to be the first one to say, great, that's a wonderful thing. I'm not going to say your fame is a bad thing. I'm not going to say that people acknowledging you and your recognition is evil or bad. I'm not saying that at all. But what I'm saying is, don't chase after that as the primary thing in your life. Always remember who you are. Always remember what the Lord has given you. Always remember the place that God has for you in eternity, and make that the priority, and then sell all the books you want to sell and you can sell. Be as famous as you want to be, as long as you remember who you are in the Lord. You see, people need to understand that. And so this is really, we're getting a good cross-section here of the same idea. The Lord should be first. The kingdom of God should always be first in our hearts and in our lives and in our lives. So, you know, there's a song, and I kept thinking as I was, you know, sort of putting this message together, and I kept thinking about the song, He Knows My Name. It was written about 10 years ago. Sort of an old song, He Knows My Name. He knows my name, he knows my every thought. He knows each tear that falls, and he hears me when I call. I mean, and it's a short song. It has, I think, two verses and a chorus. And you know what? But it's really right on. It tells us that he knows everything about us. And when we are shedding tears and we have problems in our lives, he knows about it because he knows you. He knows your name. The world may never know your name. You may walk down the street, you may go into a room, and no one even looks at you or acknowledges you. It doesn't matter, because he knows your name. That's the important thing. In last week's fellowship, John Allen did this great teaching, you know, in fellowship in the men's group. We have guys every month do a different teaching, and then we have discussion after their teaching. And it's really just great. And we had this really good discussion after. And one of the things that John brought up was these two different beliefs that are out there, and actually they were actually, I believe, part of the body of Messiah, 18th, 19th centuries. We have deism and we have theism. But deism, and I think I talked about this a couple of years ago, but deism basically is the belief that God created and then he doesn't interfere with anything. That's deism. They, in other words, they accept the existence of God, but they reject the belief in the supernatural interaction with mankind. That's deism. You see, it's different than atheism that don't believe in God. And so we had a little bit of discussion about that. But we have a God that knows. We have a God, not just that existed or exists, but we have a God that knows. We have a God that sees, even to today. We have a God that cares about each and every one of us. And whether we realize it or not, he is a part of our lives. And by his spirit, his ruach, things are happening, and he's opening and closing doors, and he's leading us through a path and leading us and guiding us through this world today if we allow him to do that, and if we keep it in prayer and we look and ask God, please God, help me and guide me and show me the way. We have a God that cares. And he hears me when I call. Sums it all up. Father God, I thank you that you are a God that cares. I thank you, Yeshua, that you know each and every one of our names, that you know us, that we have been called, that we are your disciples, even today. And I thank you, Lord, that you give us wonderful opportunities to serve you each and every day, great and small, minute things and grand things. But you give us these opportunities. And so, Lord, we look forward to the day where we will meet you face to face. May the lips, may the words on his lips be that we were good and faithful servants, each and every one of us. And so we thank you, Lord, for that precious, precious, wonderful gift of salvation that you have given each and every one of us. And we just thank you and we praise you in Yeshua's name. Amen and amen. Praise you, Lord.